Welcome back to the Male Models Podcast. I am Josh Peck. I am your bottom, I am your top, and I am your middle.
I'm just here to watch. I'm Joe.
Today in the studio, we have young Jared Harvin, hilarious comedian, stand-up, crushing the game podcaster. Jared, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Jared's from Amityville. Were you there during the murders?
No, that was like in 1960, you know, so like I wasn't around yet.
Okay.
But even if I go to that neighborhood, it's more of like a rich part of the neighborhood. You know, black people die first in scary movies, so I'm not trying to figure out, like, you know, I'm not trying to figure out the ending of that part. And even if I go there, the cops are going to look at me a little weird. So, you know, I try to stay from that part of the neighborhood. But it's very nice, you know, renovated, new kitchen backsplash and everything like that. They scrub the blood off the wall. So, you know, everything's new over there.
Should we look up? Will you please? Let's have our famous or our very fancy looker upper. Our Jamie. We've got someone. This isn't a two man game.
Yeah.
What exactly was the Amityville Horror?
1974, mm-hmm. Ronald DeFeo Jr. shot and killed 6 family members at his house.
Got it.
In Amityville on the south shore of Long Island. He was convicted of second degree murder in 1975 and sentenced to 6 years of 25 years to life in prison. Oh, wait. How do you only get 6 years for killing 6 of his family members?
No, he was in there for a while.
No, yeah, he was in there for a while.
I think he might still be in, because
I think he's still alive, too. Yeah, I think he still might be in jail, yeah.
Anyways, a year later, George and Kathy Lutz and 3 of their children moved into the house, and after a month, they fled the house claiming that it's been terrorized by paranormal phenomenon.
And I think that's the movie that Ryan Reynolds was in.
Right.
Yes, with the ghost.
Yeah, with the ghost. Yeah, you know, he was choking out the little kid on set for real and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he got into character real bad.
Wow. Like,
yeah, he really scared the kid.
This getting into character is not good. Not good for Ryan, not good for Will.
No, it's not.
We need these people to shake it off. That was the one thing when Will was like, you know, I'm just, you know, slightly in character. So I'm like, Papa, it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Not let go.
It was
of
a year
King
ago.
Richard?
Yeah, son. Like, I mean, I know you were in the movie Concussion. That doesn't mean you got to give Chris Rock one. You know? Like, it's just, you got to step away. Somebody's got to yell cut, son. Like, it's bad. It's bad.
Have you ever done method acting?
Method acting? No. Have you seen my acting? I'm barely just trying to be believable.
You're just in football mode on Red Dawn?
I'm just trying to drop the shtick at all times. So, I mean, my wife is relentless, too, because sometimes I'll ask her to run lines with me, and she won't be in the mood, and I'm like, do you like that Tesla you drive? And she'll be like, why are you putting on a voice? I'm like, because I'm insecure.
You got to understand, sir. If you want to go to Sweetgreen 2 times a day, you got to let me do my thing.
Yes, yeah, please. Yeah. Do you enjoy Au Bon Pon? Well, we're going to have to figure it out. All right, so the story in the news yesterday was that Rudy Giuliani was revealed to be the masked singer this week, singing Bad to the Bone.
Really?
And while Jenny McCarthy and Nicole Scherzinger and Nick Cannon were like dancing, having a great time, Ken Jeong was like, fuck out of here, and walked off set.
I saw that.
Yes.
Ken, what are you mad at Rudy Giuliani for? Like, son, were you mad because he tucked his pants in that Borat movie?
Oh, man.
Because he tucked his pants in. Like, dude, you showed your whole dick in Hangover. Like, this man was just trying to tuck his pants in. Like, what's going on? You know?
That hair dye. The hair dye moment for Giuliani is going to go down. Have you seen the photo of him? He's like being, I don't know, it's something with Congress, and literally like a brown sort of like spout of Just for Men is coming down his cheekbone.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like you left a pack of crayons outside in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dripping. That's like hot oil.
Okay, so the next story is, and I think this is worth talking about. I think this is good. Should couples merge their finances? Couples' choices about how to share money require trade-offs between togetherness and autonomy. In the 70s and 80s, not combining your finances was considered a bad omen for a relationship. No longer the case. The share of committed couples, married or not, who keep at least some of their finances separate has risen in recent decades.
Ooh.
What do we think? You're about to get married.
No, I join them. Join forces.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's very funny now that, you know, Ethereum just went down. It was all this whole big Bitcoin crash. Now motherfuckers like, hey, let's put our money together. Yeah, you and I together. We in this together. Let's buy some NFTs. Like, you know, it's very funny. You know, being together with somebody, I think that's a personal thing, you know, because when you come together with somebody, you have certain walls that need to be broken down. Like, people are onions, you got to peel back layers. So, you know, if you feel that's appropriate for your relationship, go right ahead, you know. But if you don't trust your significant other and you don't trust their Instagram, you go through their DMs, maybe you want to merge their accounts so that you can track where they're at. You know, Chase Quick Pay, if you see they're at a 7-Eleven and then they go to a strip club, like ATM right next week, be like, okay, you're cheating on me. You know, so it's a good, if you're a crazed woman, a crazed man, merge those accounts, son, because you can track where your people are at, you know?
If you're in a relationship, or let's just say you're dating, but you're like, you're in a relationship, you're monogamous dating, right? So it's early days, but you're kind of only seeing each other. Mm-hmm. Is it normal to go Dutch? Do you pay more as the guy and then let her take it every now and then? Is that me being a chauvinistic monster? What's the truth, guys?
Do you know what going Dutch means?
Yeah, you'll have and have, basically. Or what, you pay for yours, I pay for mine.
By the way, Jared's 7 years younger than you.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, I'm 32. I just learned what that meant.
No, that's okay, son. I looked 15, so I get it. I always went off the basis of, if I offered like to go out, like if I reached out to you like, hey, we should do this, I'm gonna pay for you, you know, right. I'm gonna pay, because I was the one that put it at the forefront. Obviously, you know, you have that whole thing, old school man should pay for everything, this and that, you know, back and forth. It's not a problem to have, like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, you know. So if, you know, if I, in the first part of the day, if I pay for bowling, you can pay for the froyo, you know, like we can have a balance between that. But fair. Like, usually I operate like, if I'm the one that offers, I'll pay, you know. And I don't really extend it to anybody else. That's just like, you know, I was raised with good parents. So, you know, that's just the morale in me.
Did you see that Mike Tyson punched somebody on a plane the other day?
No.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, repeatedly in the face.
No, that sounds like fake news.
No. TMZ. 30 mile zone. Do you know what TMZ stands for?
No.
30 mile zone.
30 mile zone?
Mm-hmm. It means that.
That sounds like a grunge band that didn't make out of Seattle.
Yeah. What's up, Olympia? We're 30 miles zone.
they were always outbeaten by Nirvana. Like,
let's hear your Spokane. The 30 mile zone was something created by, I don't know if it's the Screen Actors Guild, but it's the 30 mile zone, which is anything from the Beverly Center, which is sort of like the epicenter of LA.
Yeah.
And if something is shooting more than 30 miles from the Beverly Center, they lawfully have to put you up in a hotel and give you per diem as an actor.
I see.
Otherwise, okay. You have to commute yourself there.
Oh, all right. Mm. And basically, TMZ patrols like everything within the 30-mile zone.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that.
Let's look for some corroborating sources, because Tyson just, what, is teeing off on people on a Frontier jet?
Yeah, yeah. Please look that up, because he was at a comedy show 2 weeks ago that I did in New York City. So, you know, if I say a joke about alopecia, I got to make sure that he doesn't Will Smith me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Will Smith. This is the dude's face that got punched.
Well, but what did the dude do?
The incident happened around 10:30. Tyson had been to San Francisco for the 420 festivities. Mm. He's been live and smoking. And JetBlue. That's surprising on there.
JetBlue is always walking that fine line of high-end jets and also like,
yeah,
it might pop off.
UFC.
Spirit adjacent.
Spirit adjacent.
The guy who came up to him was apparently extremely intoxicated.
Wow, and Mike Tyson let him know. Yeah. Tyson looks better than ever, by the way. He is in good shape.
Oh my God, this dude's behind him, like pointing at him.
Stop it.
Oh my god,
this guy deserves to get punched.
Yeah, he deserves it.
He waited too long. Wow. And they're sitting in JetBlue Mint. Usually nothing bad happens in JetBlue Mint. What a douche. If you're the flight attendant, do you go up to that guy and say, do you have a death wish, sir?
Of course. Holy shit. Dude.
Damn.
Good for Mike.
He was pummeling him, son.
Oh my god.
So nothing happened to Mike?
No, he still has it.
What do you mean?
Like the punch. 1-2.
Do that again.
Yeah, Joe just did his best Rock'em Sock'em Robots impression right there.
The one thing I was going to say before about the relationship thing is, as the one married man representative here, when I was originally getting married to my wife, mm-hmm. you know, I got a mother, Jewish mother.
Yeah.
Jared, you're from Long Island.
Yes, sir.
You know the type.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been lucky enough to, let's just say, support the family. Mm-hmm. Whether I agreed to it or not, since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
So yep. When I was getting married, I had another person to think about, and my mom.
Of course.
Having to take care of her. And so as I'm going to enter into this business relationship, because that's how the state of California sees your marriage, you're entering into a business with your wife. I thought it might behoove me to possibly get a prenup. This was suggested to me by some people who apparently don't believe in true love. Mm-hmm. So I went and met with a lawyer. Mm. who specializes in this, and the conversation cost me $350. 1 hour. The moment I walked in, they were like, turn the meter on. She basically broke down to me what a prenup is, what it would entail. And I left there so terrified that I said, fuck it, she deserves it all.
Like, wow.
I mean, it basically, she's like, it is the most unromantic thing you can do. Plus, she started with, anything you've made before you get married is yours. So I was like, great. So the couple hundred grand I've made before this will go to my mom if, God forbid, I get taken to the cleaners. Like, I know I could sleep on a couch, but my mom's 77. That wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
And basically, she said, your wife will have to get a lawyer too, because obviously I can't represent the both of you. Mm-hmm. And you will literally have to go down a list of, like, if you cheat, this is what you get. If I cheat, this is what I get. This is how we're going to do the kids. And it was just like, so heartbreaking to me. And thankfully, I'm not successful enough yet to where it made sense. And I was like, I'm not doing it. And it was funny because the lawyer, like 15 minutes left in the hour, looks at me and goes, and I can tell you're probably not going to do this. And I was like, no, I'm not.
Oh, man.
So I'm all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm raw.
Yeah, bro. Like, that's, I can only imagine, you know, you're mixing finances with them. Like, I was talking with Giannis about this, because my parents are divorced and, like, they're still amicable, right? Mm. Like, my father comes over every day. Like, we go out to dinner a lot. Like, we spend Easter together. And I was talking to Giannis last. I was like, yo, it's so hard for me to imagine, like, parents who can't, you know, pretend to be amicable or be together for their children. Because essentially, like, you have a child. You do anything for him, right? You know, and he means the world to you. And really, you're gonna do anything to make sure that he has a secured life, to make sure that he has a secured circle, a secured foundation. So when he grows up, there's nothing wrong with his perspective of love or, like, you know, camaraderie or commitment. Because, you know, that people who have divorced parents, it has a negative effect in many of their aspects of life, you know, like,
oh,
with relationships or this and that. So, like, it's like when I see all these stories about, you know, horrible court cases and, like, lawyers getting involved and, like, money getting involved and, like, the parents hate each other. It's like, dude, like, you can't pretend to, like each other for your children. Like, you can't pretend to have a union and be together for your children. Because, you know, you pretend to like your boss. You pretend to, you know, you pretend to like the restaurant that your friend takes you to because it makes them happy. Why can't you just pretend for someone that really matters in your life, you know? So, like, that whole idea, like, blows my mind. And especially when you have finances, like, lawyers get involved and people just try to take money out of your pocket. That shit, it gets so foggy. But, like, love remains the strongest thing of all, you know, in some cases. Not out in L.A., you know. Sometimes people just hang with people for paparazzi. But, yeah, it's hard, man.
When did your parents get divorced?
They got divorced when I was in middle school. So, like, probably, yeah, 10 years ago now.
And how quickly after they got divorced did they start dating other people?
I don't know. That's a part of my life that I don't know. Like, I don't know if my mom is dating somebody. But I do know that late at night, sometimes her phone will ring.
No.
And the song Lollipop by Lil Wayne plays. So I don't know what that means. Sure. You know, I don't know what that means. But, like, for my father, he was the one that had a girlfriend, and he would always refer to her as, oh, my little friend. I'm like, dude, I know what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to call her a little friend. She lives in St. Myers. I know exactly what you're doing. That was probably, like, maybe, like, 5 years after they divorced. So, like, you know, and they were high school sweethearts, and I don't think they're dating anymore now. But, yeah, about 5 years for my father. For my mom, I don't want to know. You know, you can keep that to yourself. Yeah.
Do you have a sibling?
Yeah, I have two. Well, three. I have a half-sister, and I have two brothers.
Older or younger?
Older. Yeah. By 12, 14, and then 15 years.
Divorce is incredibly rough, no matter what the age.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing you have to remember too, and I think, like, I can only speak from the dude's perspective, but it's so terrifying, the idea of, like, getting someone that you don't want to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because you acted a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is because you're not just connected to them for 18 years, you're connected to them for your whole life.
Yes.
Because it's your kid. Mm-hmm. And it's their mom. So, like, every moment that mom acts a fool or is crazy and affects your kid, you're sitting there going, like, God, I could have stopped all this.
Mm-hmm.
If I just took a pause.
Yeah.
If I just wasn't such an animal.
If I didn't have that third shot of Patron, I could have erased this whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a terrifying prospect. Although, and I will say, and DeStefano was talking about this on his pod the other day. The amount of freedom I now have had for the last 10 years of A, not being in fear that I got the wrong person pregnant, and B, not being in fear of an STD is beautiful.
Beautiful.
I mean, my brain is so freed up.
Yeah.
The other day at Universal Studios, one of the rides got stuck, Transformers, from a power outage.
Yes.
Have you ever been stuck on a coaster?
I've been stuck on Magic Mountain in Disney World.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Yeah, that shit was scary.
How'd you get down?
It was like a 35-minute pause, and all the lights came on, and essentially it looked like a big-ass Costco. Because, you know, Magic Mountain, everything's dark, and, like, you have the illuminated rails, and everything came right on, and we were high up. And my grandmother was in front of me. She had on a diaper, and then she said she had to go. And
no
so,
way.
Like, yeah, so, like, it was a dicey situation, but after 35 minutes, they slowly, like, retracted everyone backwards, and they got us off. But that shit was kind of scary. Oh,
wow. Yeah. First of all, shout out your grandma for being so forward-thinking of wearing a diaper. Right?
Oh, yeah. 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 You know, there's not a lot of bathrooms in Epcot, son, so you got to stay prepared. You know?
I wonder if they have emergency messages in Mickey's voice, like, our bad.
Yeah, it was just a loud voice that came over, like, the ride just stopped. Please just stay patient and stay still. We're like, dude, we don't have any other choice. So like,
where are we going?
Yeah, if we move, we're literally at the climax of just going down. So like, we didn't want to move. Everyone was like, yo, stay still. Just stay still.
You ever go to Six Flags in New Jersey?
Yeah, I've been
great
there
before. Adventure.
Yeah. Yep.
What about Busch Gardens, y'all?
Oh, yeah, Virginia.
She was still.
Never been. How about Adventureland? That's a Long Island thing.
Right in Farm. I've been to that.
Yeah, Right in Farm. They made a movie about it with Jesse Eisenberg. It's not really accurate, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's not really accurate because it was actually a place where you went to die.
Yeah.
Right? It was dangerous as fuck.
Yeah, it was very dangerous. Like, yeah, that pirate pendulum that swings back and forth, many people have gotten shot out of that shit.
Oh, my God.
Looking like Evel Knievel. So, you know, like, yeah, it's not the best of places, but it's a fun little spot.
The Six Flags in New Jersey, one of the Fright Fests, like one of the first ones, they had the Haunted Maze. And a fire broke out, and like six people died in it. So when the firemen were going in to take out the bodies, they couldn't figure out what were the skeletons of the props and what were real people.
Yeah, now that shit is actually haunted. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My buddy was in a haunted house in Long Island when he was like, and he always tells this story. It's like the 70s, and his old school Italian father, aka in the mob, basically felt so claustrophobic in this haunted house that he was like, Tony, we're getting out of here, and started punching the walls, kicked through like five walls.
Oh my God.
And walked straight out. And my friend still talks about it. He's in his 50s. He's like, I can't get over it. I thought this was interesting. So a middle school called on Gordon Ramsay for help after being short on cooks. Celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay came to the rescue for Edward Peak Middle School.
He went in
Biggleswade, UK, when kitchen manager Tina Clark was left to feed hundreds of students alone with two of her employees out sick. I mean, first of all, only in the UK, am I right?
Yeah.
What was your public school cafeteria food like?
I had a beautiful like sandwich station. All the food was like gross on the other side, but you can customize anything you want: bologna, turkey, ham, and it was like super cheap, $2.50, $3.
Same with my school. We had the sandwich station was popping.
Yeah, that had the longest line always.
Had potato salad, had the macaroni salad, tuna, turkey, whatever you want to do. Yeah,
that because you guys grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah,
yeah, you could say that. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I went to PS 40, public school 40.
Did you?
Yeah, in New York. And like, this shit was not, I mean, the highlight was that you could either pick chocolate or regular milk. And being a fat kid, I could not believe these idiots who would pick regular milk.
Yeah.
When there was a chocolate option.
That shit's like drinking water.
Yeah. I'm like, 2%? We got chocolate right here. Mm-hmm. You nuts?
I was always a chocolate kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come always on. A chocolate. Yeah. And I judge people that got strawberry too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Crazy.
Strawberry just ruins the whole meal.
But we used to have the pizza on the French bread, but it was like basically a baguette.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, did you guys have that?
Yes.
Yeah. I had the stuffed crust cheese too, like most people do, but like stuffed crust cheese.
He had Domino's.
You had Domino's?
In elementary school every Friday.
Every Friday?
It was like the special.
Was it the regular slices? Because you know in elementary school they cut those shits thin.
No, they cut them in half.
Oh, they cut them in half?
Well, they took the regular slices and cut them in half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. They always do that in elementary school.
Yeah.
Serving size. Give me a break.
Did you have a good squad at your lunch table?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't not popular. I was probably I was the coolest of the or the most popular of the unpopular, or the least popular of the popular.
Okay.
I was right in the middle. I was like, I was like a diplomat, you know, down to clown. With
yeah, I was like the liaison, you know. Yeah, I was cool with everybody, you know.
Talk to different groups.
I was cool with the goths, cool with the jocks, but I never had like that in crowd. I didn't really get that until the end of high school with my best friends. So yeah, you know, you kind of populated with everybody, but you were never really close or cool with anybody, really, you know.
Jared, are you online dating?
Online dating,
or
no.
Dating apping? Dating apps?
Nah, I try to stay off of those, man.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to meet people in real life?
Yeah, I like to meet people in real life, you know, and like online apps is like, gives people a border to act differently than they would. Like I one time, like years ago, I matched with this girl on Hinge and we're talking to her and like, I made the first move. I was like, hey, you look very pretty. Like, we should go out one time. And then she literally responded, the fuck you want to go out with me for? And I was like, dude, you swiped on me. Like, why are you talking to me like that? Like, I came up to you at the library while you were reading Tchaikovsky, some shit like that. Like, we had an agreement. We matched. Like, now we usually go along with the conversation. But, like, there's so many borders and so many walls that people want to act. And, you know, the insecurity can fester in different ways online. So, like, I try to stay away from that, you know? Try to stay away from it.
Yeah, I've been with my wife 10 years, so I miss the beautiful dating apps.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would have been in a lot of trouble.
How'd you meet your wife?
We met at a Halloween party.
Nice.
Not far from here in North Hollywood, where she should not have been, because she's a beautiful Irish Catholic girl from the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And she came to my part of town, which is, you know.
She's a mermaid.
Yeah, she was very, was a unicorn there amongst me and my friends.
Which, I mean, she's already unicorn because Irish and the beach don't really mix up.
No.
Yeah.
No, this girl does not tan.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah, no, it's just.
You got to dip her in Greek yogurt before she goes to the beach.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You should see my son.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. This kid, no melanin. That's like his rap name, Little No Melanin.
Look like a red tamale and shit, yeah.
Oh, okay, here's something. Page 6, Pete Davidson's inner circle advising him not to appear on The Kardashians. Don't expect to see Pete Davidson on The Kardashians. While Kim seems ready to have her beau appear on her family's new Hulu series, a source tells us people close to the Saturday Night Live star are advising him against it. Jared, I assume you're in Pete's circle. Why are you telling him no?
You know, just Pete's circle is just his friends from Staten Island. And, you know, sanitation workers can't imagine their friends in the Kardashians. So obviously they're going to go against him being in the Kardashians, you know. But he can do whatever he wants. He's going to space. You can't tell nobody who's going to space not to be in a TV show. All right.
Definitely.
You know, that's like telling Magic Johnson he can't have sex with a woman. So, like, it's physically impossible for him not to. Like, there's he's reached pinnacles, and definitely from a kid from Staten Island, he's outdone himself. So, like, let him do whatever he, if he wants to run for president, if he wants to be Secretary of State, let Pete Davidson do it. Because that's, he's just, he can do whatever he wants.
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean.
Are you watching the show?
I'm not. You?
I am.
You are?
Yeah, it's part of my new initiative of watching pop culture.
And?
It's fun.
All right, I'll get in. We can tee that up for next week.
Will you talk about T-Bark and Courtney every week?
Sure, we can dig all the way in. Let's just say, dream, you know, you could end up with a Kardashian. Who are we thinking? Because me, I'm going either Chris, the mother.
Go top dog.
I'm going top dog.
Yeah. Of course.
Because I was raised by a powerful woman.
Yeah.
I'm not intimidated.
You always date and marry your mother.
Totally. Or Chloe. I mean, obviously.
But obviously.
Chris or Chloe? Joe?
I go Chris, 100%. I'm going on top.
It's the whole package.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I want to make the decisions.
Yo.
Where are you going?
See, it used to be Chloe for me, you know, but then she changed her body to a Barbie doll. So I she's unnoticeable. I mean, it looks like she's on the run from the law. So I'm going to have to go Chris. I'm going to have to go Kendall.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Why? Yeah,
because I she's always been solid, you know.
Yeah.
Not too much. I mean, she had that Pepsi commercial. That's the only, you know, that's the only blemish on her face. But besides that, like, she's always been solid. Didn't change her body too much. You know, always stay true to who she is. Or Chris, you know. But yeah, Chris's luck with men, it's not that good. So, yeah.
Isn't Chris still with the same guy that she's been with for like the last 7 or 8 years?
Spoiler alert, no. They just broke up.
You learned that?
Huh?
You learned that?
Yeah.
You're really on the up and up. Jared Harvin, plug anything you want to plug. So happy to have you here,
my
bro.
Guy, thank you so much. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, jharvin15. You can listen to my podcast that I do with Giannis Pappas, who was a guest on the show, Long Days, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Run It Up, man, jharvin15. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming.
It's a real honor, real pleasure.
That's Male Models.